Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
712 now. You know, what do we say on this show all the time? We say we need more young people interested in politics to try to change the mess that we're in.
And more women.
And you know, my subtle opinion, Democratic leadership is destroying Illinois, Republican leadership is destroying the country. So how about we meet somewhere in the middle? And Erica Harold is here. Erica Harold in studio is quite a life story, and is a hometown girl. You grew up where?
I grew up in Urbana,
And that would have put you very close to the University of Illinois. You ever been there?
Yes, I'm a townie, a graduate of the University of Illinois. Yes,
you.
I proudly claim that.
Dallas,
gotta do it. ILL.
You have I and I all the way.
See? Gotta do it.
There you go.
You have to own that.
Yeah.
There you go. And as a young woman, you eventually become a lawyer. What drew you to the law?
I wanted to be an advocate to fight for people. I had a personal experience of being bullied when I was in high school. It started out with name calling, escalated to death threats. I ultimately had to leave the high school, and it gave me a sense of what it felt like to be powerless. And it was defining for me because it made me want to be a lawyer and made me want to fight for people.
Now, this was the 90s, I assume, in high school?
It was.
Okay, so we're a lot better now than we used to be about understanding the scourge of bullying and how damaging psychological bullying is, not to mention physical bullying. But in the 90s, did you get blown off when you complained about it?
In the 90s, there was still the mentality of that's just kids being kids.
Yeah, walk it off. Figure it out.
Absolutely. And now people are seeing the links to suicide and the fact that there's an obligation to protect kids.
There's a statistic that came out this week. 12-year-olds. One 12-year-old every 5 days kills himself over bullying. It's a reputable study.
I believe it.
It's one of the most hideous things I've ever heard.
I actually still go into schools and talk to students about my own experience and encourage them to stand up for themselves and to demand to be treated with respect. And I have students who will come up to me and talk to me about the way they're trying to cope with it, whether it's suicide attempts or cutting. But it's a very serious issue, and I want kids to understand that they're not alone and they have people who will fight for them.
It's really important for kids to hear because, you know, I've always said, never forget what it felt like to be 10 or 11 mm-hmm. or 15 or whatever. Because, you know, all of us as parents, and now me as a first-time grandparent, you know, a kid comes home from school and they're telling you about something they really got upset about during the day. It's not a big deal to you because you're a grown-up. You've lived a life. You've been through it. But it's a hugely traumatic part of their day. And you got to put yourself in their shoes and stop whatever you're doing and listen to them.
And it's also worse now, too, I would even venture to say, and you've probably seen in your experiences, too, with cyberbullying, online thing, threats and whatnot.
Been easier to be
they
a coward and
go
bully kids.
Viral, yeah.
Absolutely.
Social media.
And the social media aspect is actually far more damaging for kids than the physical bullying because there's this sense of if it's online, they think that everyone can see it. And that psychological torment is something that they don't have the ability to escape from. Before, people would settle their grievances with a fight on the schoolyard playground, they would maybe get over it the next day. But with things going viral, those images stay forever, and it's something that's very damaging.
Now, after college, you went to that fly-by-night law school, Harvard?
Yes, I did.
Yes. Intimidating going to Harvard?
It was slightly intimidating because you know you're studying with the best, but I really wanted to be up for the challenge. And so I participated in a moot court competition because I really wanted to challenge myself. I didn't want to leave there feeling like I'd back down from any challenges.
What do you love about the law?
I love the fact that you're able to apply to specific facts and figure out how to make people's lives better in very tangible ways. And a lot of people see the law as something that's mysterious, it's intimidating, it's expensive. And as a lawyer, it's my job to figure out what's the most efficient, cost-effective, painless way of being able to help people achieve resolution.
Now, I don't want to gloss over, there's a pretty cool part of your life that I haven't mentioned, and that's the fact that Miss America 2003...
I was.
When did you do pageants as a teenager?
I did not. I did my first pageant when I was in college for the rather mundane reason of earning money to pay for school.
Me too. Same reason I did
it. It's a path for us all, actually.
Yes, same reason I did it.
Right.
So you became Miss Illinois.
Became Miss Illinois and then represented our state at Miss America.
When you won, were you shocked?
I was surprised because I had not had that lifetime experience and I was up against people who did. But what motivated me is I'd been accepted to Harvard Law School, didn't have the money to pay for it, and decided to enter the pageant that year as my way of earning money to pay for it.
And is your year in Miss America, where it was bullying one of the causes that you used to go around the country and talk about? Because really, that's the thing. If you achieve that kind of success, you've got a great platform for 12 months. You need to use it for good, right?
You have an incredible bully pulpit, and my platform is preventing youth violence and bullying. And I had the ability not only to go into schools, but to talk to community groups, to talk to legislatures, to talk about the importance of passing anti-harassment legislation to try to change the culture and the law.
I don't overstep my boundaries here. You're a fairly impressive person.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's really going out on a limb.
I mean, wow. Congratulations. Yeah. This is amazing. Continue on, Steve.
We may have to make her adult of the week.
I was going to say, building on that, exactly right. Building on that, you're together, you're intelligent, you got it all going on. Why do you want to get into politics?
We're not going to announce that quite yet.
Right.
Yeah, hold on. This could be the big broadcast tease.
Okay, sorry.
You have an announcement to make.
I do have an announcement.
And then Andrea will ask you a question about it that she hasn't thought of yet.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, that
sounds
great. Stand
by 1 second. You know who else is on the phone? Pat Brady.
Oh.
Pat Brady is calling from the road. We'll get to Pat in a second, too. It's 7:18. State Rep. Sarah Feigenholtz, representing the Democrats after 7:30. And is she in the studio? Is she coming in? She is. Okay. And always nice to see Sarah. Erica Harold is here, somebody you should know, and for no small reason. You have an announcement to make.
I do.
And that announcement is?
I'm running for Attorney General. Cut right to the chase.
Right, and congratulations. I mean, I salute it.
Of the state of Illinois.
Yes.
Well, I should clarify.
Yes.
I should clarify.
Yeah, but
we don't want to break any more news than necessary.
And pardon the look on my face because you have so much positive going on in your life. The fact that you're going to... I'm conflicted because... I want great people, especially great young people and great young women involved in the process because we need that. And you certainly appear to fit all of those and check all those boxes. But do you know what you're getting into, I guess would be my question.
I do know what I'm getting into. I've looked around at the dysfunction in our state, probably like so many people, and wanted to know, is there anything to do to fix it? And I think with my legal background and passion to be an advocate, that the Attorney General role is a place I can make a difference.
Well, you know, a sitting ovation.
Absolutely.
Way to go, way to go, way to go.
It's the highest honor in the show, a sitting ovation.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
All right. It is politics.
And yes, it is.
Illinois politics, which
Indeed.
Can get a little dirty.
Indeed. But
And personal.
I think what we need to do, though, is stay focused on issues and the reason why this race is important. I'm running because I believe that our state deserves an attorney general who will be independent, who will be unafraid to hold both parties accountable. And that's important, not just one party, but both parties accountable, and who will be willing to go after public corruption. Because,
in other words, the definition of the job, right?
Absolutely the definition of the job.
Yeah.
And I'm running because our current attorney general promised when she ran 15 years ago that she would be proactive in going after public corruption, and she has not done that. And I would be an attorney general who would.
And by the way, Lisa Madigan is always welcome to come in here as well. But I don't do the two people at the same time yelling at each other. So you'll come back. She'll come back at some point. Let me get Pat Brady in here as well, because I know you know Mr. Brady, and he's calling from the road. Hi, Pat.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Congratulations, Erica.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning.
Where are you, Pat?
I am in Omaha, Nebraska.
And Pat is headed west. He's going to get one of his daughters back into college in San Diego and doing a dad thing. What did you want to ask, Erica?
Hey, well, first, just a little comment. Your opening statement, you hit the nail on the head, I think, for a lot of people when you said that we feel powerless under the current system, the way we have it set up here with the Speaker and the Attorney General. But you were ahead on two issues that I see right now. You're talking about bullying. You were way ahead on that. You were talking about it before anybody was. But another thing I know you were big on, and I know some people deserve to be in prison and stay there forever, but you were big in prison reform and rehabilitation of people that are actually in penitentiaries. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. For the past 10 years, I've served on the National Board of Directors of an organization that does prison reform and advocates for criminal justice reform. And that's important because if we're going to address the recidivism rates in our society, we have to give people meaningful ways to be able to put their life back together. We have to hold people accountable, but once they have served their time, there have to be meaningful ways in which they can acquire the job skills and educational background to be able to support their families. It's really something that makes common sense. And in a state like Illinois, when we cannot afford to keep wasting money on solutions that don't work, this is a prime time for us to be able to do that. And that's one of the reasons why I'm seeking this office, because I think my background uniquely situates me to be a leader on that issue.
The amount of money it takes to run for a statewide office is insane.
It's a lot of money.
It's ridiculous. I assume you're doing well as a lawyer, but I also assume you'd like to not go broke doing this. Are you prepared to go out and do the political thing where you have to ask for the donations and all of that?
I'm prepared to work really hard to make the case why I would be the best advocate for our state and the best attorney general, and I hope that people across the state will support me. When you look at the dysfunction in our state, people have just received a 32% tax hike with no structural reform. I hope they feel the way I do and decide it's time to stand up and do something, and I'm willing to be in the arena. I hope they're willing to be there with me.
What's the greatest legal threat to Illinois, do you think? And again, this is just speculative because, you know, we're talking about down the road if you get this job. Is it internal corruption or is it an outside force like cybercrime?
I think our biggest threat is public corruption because it undermines people's respect for the rule of law. When people no longer respect the rule of law and think that there are two sets of rules, one for the politicians, one for everybody else, it undermines people's respect, and that's a prime problem.
How much can the Attorney General step in when it comes to issues like term limits, education funding? You mentioned taxes as well. I mean, everybody, I'm sure, nobody wants to pay more taxes. But how can someone turn to the Attorney General and say, hey, you need to step in. What can you legally do to help?
There are a variety of ways. Depends on the specific issue, but you do have the ability to work with the legislature if you think there are specific reforms that would benefit our state. So if the Attorney General supported term limits, the Attorney General could work with the legislature to get legislation like that implemented. I support term limits because right now the speaker has the longest serving speaker in U.S. history, and our attorney general is the longest serving attorney general in the country. And that concentration of power has not served the people's interests well.
Let's talk about the tiny elephant hiding in the corner of the room. The speaker has been around since 1971. He's been speaker of all but 2 years since, what is it, Pat, 1983, I think.
2 years in the mid-90s, at Speaker Daniels, yeah.
Yeah, so he also runs...
Put it this way, Steve, he went down there when you and I were in second grade.
That's exactly right. He also runs the Democratic Party in the state, and he doesn't like to lose. Do you see him as the biggest impediment to winning the race?
I think he's certainly going to be a big obstacle, but I'm not afraid to take on hard challenges because we have to be willing to do that if we want to get to the root of the problem. And he's someone who has stopped term limits. He's someone who has blocked a more nonpartisan way of redistricting and fair maps. And so I'm willing to take on that as well because we have to if we're going to get to root issues.
And the thing that I don't want to be the old guy sitting on a porch with my lemonade here, but the thing that continues to drive me nuts is what you're talking about are common sense solutions. That's what we talk about here, common sense solutions that are good for the people of Illinois, not for the Democrats of Illinois or for the Republicans of Illinois. The Attorney General's office needs to represent all the people of Illinois.
Absolutely.
The same way the Speaker's office should. I understand the Speaker has to protect their party, and the Speaker gets to control the legislative agenda, but not to the extent that this Speaker has, and also to be responsible enough to come on here and ask to answer tough questions and to do interviews, and for God's sakes, to have a phone in his office where he could hear from his constituents, which, by the way, Mike Madigan doesn't.
Erica, what do you say to those people who say Lisa Madigan has done a good job to distance herself from her father, staying away from politics, and has the experience having been the longest-serving AG in the country?
The role of the Attorney General is to be a watchdog, and so the distancing is actually letting the people down because it's not enough just to focus on consumer protection issues. You have to focus on all of the issues important to this office. That includes investigating your father if he's the speaker and there are allegations of misconduct, and she hasn't done that.
More proactive than political then, right? Because so many of these offices, including the comptroller's office, have become very political.
The Attorney General's office is one that's supposed to represent all the people's interests. And when you see misconduct, regardless of which party, you have to be unafraid to pursue it.
Last thoughts, Pat?
No, what I'm very excited about this. I can't, Eric, you just really nailed it for me in talking about the powerless again. I'm sorry to repeat that, but just because all you talked about, that the things that Lisa Madigan ran on that she was going to do, she didn't, and she's really been a very ineffective attorney general. And I hope when you get there, you go after Democrats and Republicans, and we need an independent attorney general. We haven't had one in a long, long time.
It's Pat Brady live from the road and Erica Harold here. If people want to follow you, stay in touch with you, support you, what do you recommend?
They can go to ericaharold.com, and that's Erica with a K.
E-R-I-K-A, and Harold, H-A-R-O-L-D.
Yes, indeed.
Nice to meet you.
Pleasure. Thank you so much for having
me. Thank you for jumping in and doing this. Certainly thank you for announcing it here, but thank you for jumping in and doing this. Regardless of where this road leads, I know it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be an exciting ride.
There you go. There you go. We will talk again, obviously.
Thank you.
Pat, drive safe.
Thanks, guys. Congratulations, Erica.
Thank you so much.
Safely, if grammar matters. God, I got a Harvard grad in here.
I'm not judging you.
You were a little, and you should have.
We
7:31,
okay.
And we're back after this on 720 WGN.